This is a new installment of Flamenco Today,
a series of podcasts created by Margaret Hova
and José Luis Greco, which are associated with the Spanish Dance and Flamenco Choreography Competition and are available on our website, certamenflamenco.com.
And on my YouTube channel, as well as other podcast platforms.
Our idea is to interview renowned and upcoming performers and choreographers,
as well as musicians and composers of the Spanish dance world.
For this installment, we interviewed four international flamenco artists living in Spain. We had the chance to interview them in Jerez and Sevilla a few months ago, where we had the opportunity of seeing some of the performances in Jerez's Flamenco Festival. We talked with Avi Movdat from Israel, Tino van der Sman from the Netherlands, Florencia Oth from Chile, and Christina Hall from the US. All the musics used in this podcast are from performances by these particular artists.
Avi Movdat is a dancer from Israel who's been in Sevilla for 16 years. I know her work personally because she presented in the certamen in 2021. She was selected to present a lovely solo with a very interesting work with a mantón, with a shawl. And the music was flamenco, but also mixed and fused with tinges of Sephardic music. Avi won a prize with that piece to do a workshop in the Conservatorio Superior here in Madrid. And Adi lives in Sevilla, works in tablaos, also goes back to Israel, where she presents her work in festivals there, works closely with the Agi Admon Foundation that organizes a very important festival in Tel Aviv, Días de Flamenco. And we had a very interesting conversation in Jerez, in the theater, Via Marta. So you will hear occasionally some background noises because there are people rehearsing and wandering through the hall where we had our interview.
So I met flamenco when I was 10 years old, and one of the Independence Day in my hometown, there was small stages all around the city, and all of a sudden I saw this stage with five or six dancers on it, burned with flame, with passion, and they were little, but I saw them with the dresses and these faces, and I remember I just looked at it and I turned to my mom and I told her, I want to be a flamenco dancer.
We also had the opportunity of interviewing Tino van der Sma, a wonderful guitarist from the Netherlands, who's been living in Spain for 24 years now. He appeared in Margaret's Certamen of Choreografía three times. One in 2008, accompanying Leonor Leal. In 2019, he won the prize for original music in that certamen, accompanying Florencia Oth. And in 2022, he was accompanying Carmen Young. We interviewed him backstage at the Sala Compañía, which is an old church in the center of Jerez, refurbished as a theater. And while he was preparing for a performance he was going to give there.
I found flamenco, it was a coincidence. I had a girlfriend in at school. She was 11 years old, and I think she played El Vito. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah. And I found that melody nice or whatever, and there was a guitar on the wall hanging on it. It was my father's, he never played on it, it was just decoration. So we started looking for someone that could play flamenco. We didn't know what it was. I didn't have a clue.
We talked to Florencia Off, a dancer and choreographer from Chile, who has been in Spain. She lives in Sevilla. She's been there for 16 years. We know Florencia's work personally because she has presented and been awarded in the Art Certamen precisely in 2019. She won the first prize for solo choreography and also the Carlota Santana Flamenco Vivo Prize. So she then was taken to New York where she worked with Carlota's company and did a workshop for them and had a performance in the Bruno Walter Theater at the Lincoln Center. We also saw Florencia in the Festival de Jerez. She did a very interesting piece with kind of experimental electronic music and a saxophone player. It was in the Atalaya within the Festival de Jerez.
I would take the bus, and in 10 minutes I was at the dance school. And I liked it very, very much from the first moment. The power it has, the rhythm. I thought, what is this? We interviewed Christina Hall from the U.S., who's been in Spain now for 21 years, right, Margaret?
Yeah. She's originally from California.
And we interviewed her in a very funky studio in Sevilla after we had seen José Antonio in the morning in an area of Sevilla which neither of us knew before, right?
Very interesting studio up some, you know, old wooden stairs and with a lot of people rehearsing here and there. Delightful opportunity to see another part of the artistic scene in Sevilla.
Yeah, and since then, I've seen some of the videos of Christina's, and I think her work is quite interesting, quite daring in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I would say she's one of the more experimental choreographers. And in fact, she presented a piece in the Certamen 2021, and it was really very, very, very contemporary. I remember the jury saying that it was kind of a Merce Cunningham-ish piece, but taken to flamenco, very, as they would say, muy plástico, creating forms and, you know, the visuals, and but at the same time, very elegant and beautifully done.
So my first encounter with flamenco, I saw it for the first time when I was like 5 years old in the Mission area of San Francisco. My parents took me to some Spanish restaurant and I remember seeing three flamenco dancers and I was like, wow, what is this? Yeah, I fell in love with it.
So we talked about their decision to come to Spain to immerse themselves in the flamenco scene here to study, a little bit about their first teachers, their first experiences in the studios, the early work in tablaos, the first tours, the first work abroad.
I remember I called my mom and I told her, I have to tell you something. Hey, mama, bueno, ¿qué? What do you want? I'm going to stay a little while. I'm going to stay here just a little bit. I have to study. And this was before I even understood that I have to get to the studio like this amount of hours to close the gap, this immense, no, gap between Adi, the Israeli psychology first-year student, and the dancer I wanted to be.
And it was really frustrating in the beginning to start with Gerardo Núñez. He said, well, you could also do it another way. And he never cleared up which way to play or what to do. Or he just left it in the open. It took me a long time to realize that actually it gave me a lot of freedom, you know, and to decide for myself and to analyze myself. That's the maybe the dark side of professional education. A lot of teachers lack of teaching to to analyze yourself, mm-hmm. to be aware of how you play and how you and mm-hmm. what you can do to improve yourself, not only listening to what they say, but to really analyze yourself. Mm-hmm. The foundation offered me to accompany the dance classes, and so I was paid, so I could stay for another year. And uh-huh. I stayed for another year, and suddenly I couldn't go back.
Y dice, bueno, me voy a Sevilla. Lo típico, voy un año.
So I said, I'm going to Sevilla. The typical idea. I go for a year and then come back. But now 16 years have gone by and I'm still here. So it was a bit like that. It's not that I saw anyone in particular dance and thought, wow, how great. I started thanks to something very fortuitous that a girlfriend had recommended. And she was right. And so when you arrive in Spain and you're faced with a reality, which is not the same as that of the countries we come from, which is that you start as a child, whether or not you're gypsy, etc., you get that first shock. How can this be? I found this that fit me like a glove has so much to do with my character. Hard to believe, but I recognize this. I know it's for me. So the first encounter, it doesn't seem to happen so much anymore, was like, you're not from here. Well, that was somewhat difficult. And I thought, how can they take this away from me? Something I feel is so real for me. I thought, But when I arrived here in Spain, I realized the truth, everything, how learning this meant, learning the life went with it, living it.
La vida que era aprender esto. Vivir en esto, ¿no?
I got to Sevilla, I didn't speak any Spanish. I'm 18 years old. I'm like, okay, now what? So I was with a friend who knew Juan Polvillo, and we started taking classes with him, and then through him, like, found other teachers, and just little gradually, like, asking around, started taking classes here and there. And, you know, with the peseta, it was still the peseta back then, so I could live like a whole year off my savings with no problem. And after five months, I was speaking Spanish.
Then we asked them to discuss a little bit about their experience becoming a professional flamenco artist and how it was to get one's work out there into the world of flamenco.
We have to create a place where you can translate your study, where you can be a flamenco dancer and experience tablao, because it was very... Tablaos for beginners, non-Spanish, it's difficult, no? But. So Gabi and Fiti, Florenza and I, we created this special place in a café called Té de Triana in Calle Betis de Sevilla. And in Té de Triana, every Tuesday and Thursday, we had tablao flamenco. And it was a place where people like us, non-Spanish or Spanish, beginners or students from La Escuela de Manuel Betanzas, were dancing with great artists, the guitarist Fiti and a whole bunch of amazing guitarists and singers, people that are like, they have their life. And this is where we did our practice.
Yeah, what's brilliant at that time, teachers like Israel Alban, that he actually offered me to play on his show in 2000 in the Biennale. So that was also a big, big event for me. It was amazing to have that opportunity. I actually was contracted to play in the rehearsals. Uh-huh. And then suddenly, well, just play along. Okay. I was very green at that time. Also, composing, I was very creative at that time. It helped me a lot to improve my compositions. If you're not into the tablao, you want to get into it, And if you're into the tablao world, you want to get out. So it's a wall that works both sides, no? Both ways. To get in, there's a wall, and to go out, there's a wall as well. I work a lot in tablao. That's my main income.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
So that's why it's a wall as well, no? You want to go out and be to other things, but there's not too much work, actually. So. Yeah. So it maintains my it maintains me. Mm-hmm. So I can't go out. Mm-hmm. I also enjoy it, no? Mm-hmm. It also, especially nowadays, you do like 3 or 4 sets even. So the next day you're really exhausted, and you do that 15 times a month. So
y creo que tiene la mismo el mismo trabajo complejo el tablao. Mm-hmm. Me encanta.
I think the tablao entails the same amount of complex work as theatrical production. I love it, especially the idea of sharing with different colleagues. And when you experience other atmospheres in a theatrical context, you begin to open up. Your head begins to open up in relation to the tablao, and other ideas begin to appear. It's no longer, it has to be done this or that way. No, there are many ways. But the tablao seems to me one of the most beautiful things there are in a traditional context. And absolutely fundamental, at least for me. Of course, everyone chooses his or her own path, but for the path of a flamenco dancer, it's super important.
En el tablao, por ejemplo, están los palos, los estilos, ¿no? Y entonces, por ejemplo, ahí está el. Tú haces como un trabajo cuando tú te montas tus coreografías para el tablao.
In the tablao, there are the rhythms, the styles. So when you're mounting the numbers, you're going to do in a tablao. The creative journey you go through is more grounded in tradition. The guajiras are danced like this, the cantinas like that, the soleares has this character, the seguidillas has that character. So you create the pieces you're going to dance, but then an important part of the tablao comes into play. A lot of improvisation. You come with a concept of, I'm going to do this or that, but then you don't end up doing any of it. You might do just the opposite. Maybe you don't feel like finishing a phrase. You're maybe so excited you do things you hadn't thought of. So there's a lot of improvisation. Anything can happen.
O cuando te toca rematar, tampoco te apetece de nuevo. Entonces es verdad que hay muchísima improvisación. Puede pasar de todo.
Yeah, little by little, I started getting in the scene, would go back to the States to perform, and then make money, come back, and kind of went on like that for a while. I went on tour with my own show in Canada. So I got really lucky because I think I was so focused and dedicated that things kind of just went pretty quickly. Yeah, there was, you know, a process of, you know, doing shows here and there, working with different people. In the beginning, they didn't want foreigners, and that was a big deal because, of course, I'm blonde, I'm fair-skinned. I didn't want to change my name.
Meón, eres un meón, y pino. Y el canal que se oculta bajo el silencio.
We had a very interesting conversation about the art form, about the act of creation. Each of the artists reflected on the process, what it takes really to create. We also talked about their choices of music, their route towards innovation or tradition, and generally it was more of a conceptual kind of conversation.
The music. Your own culture, you get to develop yourself from the inside out, both as an Israeli or as a foreigner living in Sevilla, por y para el flamenco for so many years. So I'm trying right now to develop my own project, which will contain Sephardic music, and always with contact with flamenco. I feel it's my language. It's and to see where it takes me.
But once you've got that language, people tend to stop learning because that's really necessary, you know. And there's a lot of evaluation about to be able to improvise, which is very interesting and very important. But if you do not develop, your improvisation doesn't develop either. So you, and that's, for example, accompanying classes, it really made me create new music, mm-hmm. Learn, you have the time to learn difficult rhythms. Mm-hmm. And if you compose or make a choreography, it obliges you to think and to develop. It makes composition in flamenco very difficult, because if you make 5 minutes, which is actually my criticism on nowadays flamenco, it's like YouTube standards. So we tend to put all our information in 30 seconds, and then we have another facet that produces all our information, and so on. But some guitars are really capable of developing an idea and continue that idea and leave the idea of the 30 seconds facet.
Yeah.
Which would be a very important step in flamenco. We shouldn't forget the faceta, but yeah. If you want to create and be a composer, we have to be able to create longer melodies, yeah. and develop melodies. Yeah. And that's really difficult for me. Very, yeah. very difficult. My next project is being called It's Not a Bird. Composing atonal flamenco right now. And well, that's my. Yeah. I've got some pieces already.
Yeah.
So that's for in 2 years. I want to finish that.
Right.
Y en un trabajo de espectáculo, creo que una gran diferencia puede ser que hay un trabajo de búsquedas de concepto más amplia, más libre.
When creating a theatrical piece, a big difference is that there's a searching for concepts that are more open and free. The costumes, the story you want to tell. I think the preparation is as demanding as that for the tablao, but the range of your imagination changes. I think one is freer. I think my artistic voice and how it affects the world of flamenco, I think that's a very big idea which I don't really feel represents me. What is true is that if one is a foreigner, not brought up here, we fall in love with this discipline, this art form, and we're always focused on the way things are done here. And we forget a bit about our own childhoods, our ways, the music we listen to, the right and the permission to be yourself.
De repente nos olvidamos de nuestra infancia, nuestras maneras, nuestras músicas que escuchábamos, sentirte con el derecho, como con el permiso incluso de ser tú, ¿no? Porque es como entonces de repente como que con la madurez o con el tiempo aparece a uno, ¿no? Aparece uno.
And then suddenly, as you mature and with time, you reappear. And then no longer feeling you have to apologize or ask permission to exist, to feel, to create. So I think being a foreigner, I don't know if it's exactly a contribution. But when one is true to oneself and you feel you have the right to create with the background you have, it's like you're a drop of water in the sea. Maybe tranquil, maybe churning, but something happens. If that has a great or small importance, I can't say. But I do think something happens when one is true to oneself. I think we contribute something different. We were brought up with other languages, etc., and we've been enriched by our lives here. And then when you remember the things you were brought up with, I imagine something happens.
Cuando uno como que se deja aparecer. Pero creo que se aporta algo diferente, ¿no? De,
sí.
Quiero decir, no nos hemos criado con otros idiomas, otros modismos, como nosotros nos hemos enriquecido muchísimo.
I like the idea of the artesanal, to use the voice as an instrument.
Algo sucede.
It's an element I hope we can keep and develop.
Esa artesanía, a mí me gusta, es un elemento que me parece, por lo menos para mi propuesta, ojalá que se pudiera mantener y ojalá evolucionar más.
Now I'm preparing my new show called Himnos a la Noche. It's with a cellist and an actress who also sings and dances. She's multi-talented. And it's pretty much about, because I suffered from insomnia for a while. I still have problems, but it's also like about what happens during the night, no? And how sometimes I go into these states where I feel like I'm awake, but I'm not necessarily awake, and these parallel realities that happen, and states of consciousness within the mind and things like that. Actually, yes, in La Fábrica de Artillería, and it was interesting because I got to use the whole space and everything that was in the space, and it was an improvisation. And so there was like these metal things, metal planks and mirrors and just things that were there in the space that it was really, really interesting. It was like dancing on top of this weird table thing, and it was just me, you know? Yeah. So it was 30 minutes of improvisation. It was like going into a trance. So I grabbed rocks and made a circle with the rocks. So I knew I would do something on top of the rocks. I knew that there was a mirror over there. So I knew I would do something with the mirror. I knew that there was this wooden door thing that I could use at some point, using the space, but not planning everything out to the T, but having certain key moments that...
We asked them about their sense of identity as non-Spaniards working in the flamenco art form, and how this has contributed to their voices as flamenco artists, what baggage they have brought with them from their countries of origin, in what way their personal point of view as flamenco artists is contributing to the art form.
One of the most interesting aspects of our conversations were the fact that most of them feel, after having lived in Spain now for so many years, that they have roots here now.
First, because you train yourself so many years for a specific thing. And then when you get this specific thing or this specific training, you remember you had a whole life before and a whole life ahead. Mm. So your past is evolving into your present. I'm from Israel and I bring my baggage. Mm. So this passion that I have for flamenco mass, this my character, the el paisaje de mi niñez,
the
voices, the everything is in there. And as there's a lot of people, dancers, foreigners, Spanish, and this is it's exciting because wow, it's important for flamenco to maintain and grow as an art form. Mm-hmm.
Completely. And actually, I'm feeling and developing my giri part. Actually, I feel more comfortable. At the beginning, you really want to fit in and you really want to be like them and play like them. And I've lost that eagerness to be the same. I just embraced that I'm different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It makes my playing, but a lot of foreign people hide that part, which is wrong. It's real. You really have to understand and try to get it, but don't lose your own cultural baggage, because it makes you different and it makes you interesting.
Yeah.
But only if they're capable to maintain their own character. Mm.
Sí, es que sobre todo porque encuentro que hay gente que es de aquí que tienen unas personalidades impresionantes.
There are artists here that have an impressive personality, and there are foreigners that you say how well they dance, how authentically. It's magic. It's mysterious. Things come together. I don't know how. We come with different childhoods, with other stories, other cultures. I have a relationship with music and movement since childhood, before discovering flamenco. For example, Eurythmics, in which you start with exercises of coordination, dialogues with your partner and your own body. So since childhood, I had this connection to music and movement that didn't go at all with the flamenco I later discovered.
Entonces, desde chica he tenido como esa relación musical dancística que no va para nada de la mano del flamenco.
I think it's been my journey to discover myself. It's not so much about, you know, I want to do this and be different. No, it's been a journey of going inside and seeing what's in there and what needs to come out, and transmuting things, no, about my own personal life, family life, and like I do a whole inner work process, which I think is very parallel to my art, and through the art is how I heal certain things about myself. So for me, it's not necessarily about just, oh, I want people to see my work. It's actually a way of living for me. It's like my breathing. It's what keeps me going, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's something that's healed me in a lot of ways, and it still does, because through my dancing, I've understood more about myself. Yeah. And it's like I said, a lot of times when I'm dancing, I feel like I'm a different person than how I am in my day-to-day life, no? It's like this transformation and finding how to fit both personalities into one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, coming from the States, I wasn't born into the Gitana culture, or, you know, seeing flamenco from a very little age. No, I'm American. My mom's Armenian. My dad's Irish Italian. Like, I was born into a whole different thing. I love the arts in general, and that's very much in my cell memory. But also, you know, you have to be you. Otherwise, what's the point? Even the same, when you go to a tablao, they want that. They want you to be this certain way, which I feel like I'm in a cage, and it's very uncomfortable for me because it's going against who I am. You know, they sell the tablaos here as if the audience was stupid and wants to see this cliche version of a flamenco dancer, which with the costumes and the flower here, and which is great, don't get me wrong, if that's what your personality is. But it's not mine. You know, I don't want to be the postcard dancer. And so this for me is very frustrating, because I think that's what limits flamenco, and also gives a very bad image of the art, where it's stuck in another era that's not today.
We talked to Isamay Benavente, who was the director of the Festival de Flamenco de Jerez and the Teatro Villa Marta, where she's been for 25 years.
Yo creo que el Festival de Jerez no se entendería sin unir esa formación con exhibición. Yo creo que esa fórmula...
I think the festival operates on the basis of combining exhibition and study. I think that formula has given people from all over the world that love flamenco to find here a motivation to come from countries as far away as Israel, South Africa, Brazil, Japan, Australia, for 1 or 2 weeks, because they're going to get to study with teachers of the highest order. They learn choreographies that they can then take home and work on all year. Even those that have schools in other parts of the world can take what they learn here as a kind of recycling, together with the fact that they know that during the week they're going to see a portion of all that's been created in the last year. This makes the festival a very seductive proposition. I think it's what makes the festival unique. In fact, one of the most surprising facts we've discovered is that almost 65% of the festival attendees repeat year after year. It's not a naive public. It knows what it's seeing, the demanding it is, the difficulties involved. It's a very appreciative audience that comes to participate.